We continue our studies today in the Gospel through Luke chapter 2. And we're starting in this chapter with the birth and childhood of our Savior in this chapter. And the first 7 verses was the birth of our Lord. And it relates to us the conditions under which our Savior was born. Or if I may put it this way, the condition in which our Lord himself came into the human family. Allow me to repeat one or two of the things I said in our last lesson. You remember that Caesar is on the throne. When our Lord came to the earth, Israel was in bondage, the world was in ruin, and the Roman government was a military dictatorship, and they ruled with an iron hand. No question about that. And into this situation, God sends his Son, left his place in glory, and took his place in humanity. And the edict went forth that everyone should be taxed in his own home. And you remember that God moves upon the monarch on the throne at that time, the greatest monarch on the earth, and yet just a cog in God's program. Indeed, what did Caesar Augustus know about Micah 5:2? That God's Son was going to come. The eternal Son of God was going to come into the human family and would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. You see, and I repeat these things, God is always on time. In Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. He was born at the right place, Micah 5:2, in Bethlehem. And the insignificant one is Caesar on the throne. He thought he was great. He thought he was the greatest. God said, no, you're the insignificant one. The significant ones, the great ones, is Mary and her babe whom she was carrying. This babe is going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I'll tell you, it's a wonder of God's sovereignty. What are the nations of the earth to God? Not only in that day, but today. What are nations today to God? Just the dust in the balance. God's purpose and will for the earth is going to be accomplished in every detail. And there's no power on earth or hell can hinder that purpose being accomplished. In Isaiah chapter 40, verses 15 and 17, I'll repeat that scripture, Isaiah 40, verses 15 and 17. The nations are just the dust in the balance. They're just the drop in the bucket. Yea, he said, they're less than nothing. And I'm reminded of what Nebuchadnezzar said in Daniel chapter 4, verses 32 and 35, where both Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar recognized the fact that the Most High ruleth over the affairs of men. He doeth according to his will in the inhabitants of heaven. None can say to him, what doest thou? The nations of the earth are just dust to him. And I kind of like this picture. Mary and Joseph are in Nazareth. The babe is to be born, according to the prophetic page, in Bethlehem, Judea. And God didn't send Joseph and Mary down there without, first of all, moving on the king on the throne who thought he was somebody. Do you know, when I think of the world today, in all its uncertainty, I see the fear upon hearts. I see nations trembling. Nobody can tell me, and nobody can tell you what's going to happen 3 months from now, or even a month from now. Things are altogether out of focus. But I'll tell you one thing. Whatever God's purpose is, will be accomplished. And it'll be accomplished at the right time. Now, I personally believe the Lord's going to return to the earth again. I believe he's going to come at the right time. And I know where he's going to come to. I'm talking about the earth now. He's going to come to the Mount of Olives. And the nations in that day will be under his banner. I wish he'd hurry up and come. Don't you feel like that? But he's got to first come for the church. I don't want to go to that. Now, Now let's read the Bible again. You have where Joseph and Mary came down from Nazareth. They came to the city of David, Bethlehem. Verse 6, and it was so that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Will you please notice how Luke notes every detail of it? The world had no room for him. I'm sure that Luke received the detail of this from Mary. And when I think of it, that the Lord passed up the palace, and he passed up the temple, and the home, and the inn, and brought him right to a manger. Yet the one in the manger is far more important than Caesar on the throne. You know, it's an amazing thing. The world had no room for him then. The world doesn't have any room for him today. In John chapter 1, verse 10, I read, the world was made by him. Or as the word says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. The world didn't know its creator. Verse 11 says, and he came to his own, and his own received him not. The world rejected its creator. The Jews rejected their Messiah. What will God do? Why, of course, he'll bring in a new race of people. So verse 12 says, to as many as received him, to them he gives the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. You know, I think of that song, have you any room for Jesus, he who bore your load of sin? Where do you put Jesus? Do you give him any room in your life? There was no room for him at the inn. And yet I'm going to repeat the statement, the one who was born in the manger was far more important than Caesar on the throne. You know, if the Lord had come in the majesty of a king, I think people might have received him. But he didn't. He didn't come in the majesty of a king. He didn't come in the glory of a god. They wouldn't have been able to see him. He didn't come with great trumpets. There wasn't any publicity given for the coming of God's son. No publicity. No advance agents. He didn't come in the clouds of heaven with an angelic host. He will one of these days come that way, when he comes as a king. But my friend here, he came as a savior. He came as a man in the midst of men, without any trumpets, without any fanfare, born in a manger, born in the straw. Nobody knew about it except the angels of heaven, Mary and Joseph. And then afterwards the shepherds heard about it. And after that, the wise men heard about it. Is it not an amazing thing? You know, God doesn't go in for fanfare. He doesn't need any advance agents. He's going to come just the way he wants to come. He came as a babe in the midst of men. Allow me to say again, if Jesus had come into the world as a king with a great retinue, with trumpets blowing, advance agents ahead of him, the whole world would have ran to see him. If he'd come down in the clouds of heaven with a company of angels, and every eye see him. You know, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, it says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also who pierced him. And all the inhabitants of the earth shall wail because of him. He came the first time as a babe in a manger and was rejected. He's going to come the next time in the clouds of heaven. But he's going to come the next time as a judge, to judge the nations of the earth. In that seventh verse of Revelation chapter 1, every eye shall see him when he comes in the clouds of heaven. Not with rejoicing. They will hide their faces from the face of him that cometh in his wrath. You see, God doesn't act. God doesn't move the way men expect him to. God has a purpose. God has a plan. He times it. He knows where it's going to be and how it's going to be. That's the kind of a God we need. I do not need a God. I don't want a God like a jellyfish with no backbone that moves at the whim of every man or woman. No, sir. I want a God who's sovereign. I want a God who's full of grace and truth. I want a God I can know. I want a God I can understand. And I want a God who understands me. And he's tender. And he's loving. And he's gracious. And my friend, that's the kind of a God we have. And the whole gospel through Luke is just telling us that very thing. That God came into the human family, took his place as a babe. And when he came, there was no place for him. He came as a man in the midst of men. And let me tell you this, if he had not come that way, we wouldn't have a redeemer. You see, he has to be a member of the family which he is going to redeem. This is what you have under the Levitical law. You find this in the gospel, in the book of Ruth. I want someone who can reveal God to me and redeem me so I can stand before God. I'm thinking of that great cry of Job. Oh, that I might know where to find him. I want someone who can put his hand on God and put his hand on me. Someone who can satisfy God. Someone who can satisfy me. Friend, when Jesus Christ, God's Son, came into the human family, he came to do exactly that thing. For we read in 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad he came? But I ask you the question, do you have any room for him in your life? Do you have any room for him in your life? Remember, he didn't come to the palace. He didn't come to the temple. He didn't come as some great one. He came as a baby, born in a manger. Why? Because he wants to be touched to the feeling of your infirmities. He knows exactly what you're going through. And I have a Savior who was a real man and can understand Mitchell or whatever your name may be. You know, someone has said concerning our Savior, he was born in somebody else's manger and he was buried in somebody else's tomb. His first companions were cattle. His last companions were thieves. And he died with arms outstretched to receive all. What a Savior. Do you have any room for him in your life? My friend, he came for the express purpose of redeeming you and redeeming me from sin. This is why he took his place in the human family. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of your acceptation and my acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I read here that she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger. I repeat again, Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Matthew 1:21-23. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the prophet, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Or as the angel said, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, God taking his place in the human family for the purpose of redeeming that family. Now let's go on from there. Let's see how the Lord was heralded in verses 8 right down through verse 20. How was he heralded? And here you have First of all, he was heralded by an angel. And let me just give you a gist of this. He was first of all heralded by an angel, and then you have the praise of the angelic host, and then you have the shepherds receiving the message and going on down and meeting our Savior in the manger. Here you have heaven, all heaven telling shepherds who Jesus was. Just think of it. He didn't come to the great. He came to humble shepherds, sheep herders. These sheep herders, more or less despised by the Jews in Jerusalem. They're just sheep herders. But let's see what the message of the angel is. I read these words. They were in the same country, shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Let me just stop here for a moment. Notice the very first words of the messenger from heaven, Fear not. I take it that these shepherds in the field at night were scared out of the heavens while they're trying to have a little nap, maybe. Somebody on watch. There came this amazing blaze of light from heaven. It's woke them up. And this angel said, first of all, have no fear. Don't fear. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, not just to the Jew, to Israel, but to all people. For unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Tidings of great joy. There's to be a Savior born. You see, friend, what the world needs is not a politician, nor a statesman, nor an economic wizard. The world doesn't need a reformer, or even some great military strategist. What the world needs is a Savior. And His name is Christ the Lord. Here you have His person and His work. And let me tell you, my friend, there'd be no need for Him to come if man could save himself. It was because man was totally, totally helpless that God sent His Son to save him from his sin. That's why I like 1 Timothy 1:15, which I quoted a while ago. This is a faithful saying and worthy of your acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And as Paul says, of whom I am chief. And then you remember in Hebrews 9:26, He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Unto you was born in the city of David a Savior. Let me read, or let me quote from Hebrews chapter 2, in verses 14 and 15, where we read, For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. I repeat it, my friend, what people need is a Savior. Not a military strategist, not a statesman, not a politician, not an economic wizard. One could multiply these things. What we need is a Savior. Oh, I tell you, friend, how I wish I could get this into people's hearts. What men today need is Christ. When I see the problems, the lack of peace in human hearts, the restlessness, the uncertainty of life, and the uncertainty of how to live, how glad I am that God sent His Son. To be what? To be a Savior. Friend, do you know Him? Do you know Him? Is there any room in your heart for God's Son? He came because of you. He came because of me. If you and I were the only sinners in the world, he would have still come to die for you and me. And so the message of the angel is, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. What will you do with Jesus, who is Christ the Lord? And again I come to that little hymn, have you any room for Jesus, he who bore your load of sin? He wants to come in, transform your life, make you his child. Now may the Lord Jesus himself be very precious to you today, and Christian friend, walk in his fellowship today. Just tell him how much you love him. Fall in love with him, because he loves you. And I know that because he died for you. The Lord bless you.